Colossians tonight, Colossians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to be reading verses 8 through 15, and we're going to pray, and we're going to see what the Lord has for us this evening. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophies, through empty deceptions, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority, and in Him you were all circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Moving down, verse 13, "And when you were dead in your trespasses and sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions." Let's pray. Lord, holy night, God, we just thank you for this evening and just thank you for the privilege we have of being here tonight. And I pray that we would all just open the eyes of our heart, that we could see you afresh this year, this evening, God. And Lord, we just again thank you for our time here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. I know this is not exactly your Christmas passage, like Bobby read earlier, Luke chapter 2. This comes several years actually after Jesus, after his death, not at his birth. And verse 9, this is what I want you to hear. Verse 9 and verse 13. Colossians is one of my favorite books, but verse 9, it says, "For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." And you know what? I'm walking out there at the nativity scenes, and I'm seeing one from Bethlehem. I saw one from Cameroon. I even saw one who went through a dinosaur apocalypse or something like that when you read the nativities out there. And you know what? Sometimes I forget, and I'm thinking that, okay, you know, Jesus, He's this man. He's not. I want us tonight, if we don't hear anything else, that's what I want us to hear tonight, that Jesus is not like us. He is God in the flesh, put on flesh, and He dwelt among us. But the other thing I want us to hear is found in verse 13. It says, "When you were dead," that's us, "when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ made us alive together with Him." And that this is the message of Christmas, that God stepped out of heaven, put on flesh, dwelt among us so that you and I could have life. This is Christmas. And so tonight, that's my heart, that's my goal, that's what I want to do. And I want to read a couple of passages. We're going to be in several places. We're going to be in the book of John, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, and in Philippians. So if you have your Bibles, please read along with me. But I want to read something. This is something that I'm studying right now. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 says, "Therefore, there are many signs that Jesus performed in the presence of His disciples." And this is basically the whole theme of the book of John. There are many signs that He performed. But the ones that were written in the book of John, these were written so that you and I could believe. So you and I could believe, and believing we could have eternal life. That's the whole purpose of what John is proclaiming. That's the whole purpose of what Christmas is about. So that you could see, so that you could see what Christ has done, and you could believe, and believing have eternal life. And that's my hope tonight. I want to talk about the uniqueness of Christmas, the uniqueness of who Jesus is, and I want to talk about the purpose of Christmas and why He came. And to do this, like I said, we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 13 specifically. You know, first, the uniqueness of Christ. Verse 9, Colossians chapter 2, it says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." The personhood, the character, the personality, the attributes, the distinctiveness, the deity of Christ didn't begin on that night in the manger. I sometimes forget, and I'm thinking he was born, and I forget the pre-incarnate Christ. He was there in the beginning. All the fullness of deity dwelled in bodily form. This is not like my kids. It's not like your kids. Not like
Bill's kids either, obviously.
I see in my kids, and I see in your kids, and you know, I don't know if y'all were paying attention today. Did y'all see the junior mafia running around this morning? You know, we know the mafias. Well, the junior mafia, the Iltons, the Coltranes, and the Shermans. Yeah, sorry, I lost one there for a minute. They were all running around the couch. I mean, this is not who Jesus was. I see their personalities. There was a time when my kids didn't exist. You know, everything that the material substance, who they were, existed in another form. But there was a time that my kids, your kids, their souls didn't exist. Their bodies existed in other forms, but their personhood, their souls. My daughter's blonde hair was not. I remember January 23rd, 1994, we came home from church like every other Sunday morning. Watched the Cowboys, sorry, Matt, oh, he's not in here. Watched the Cowboys beat the 49ers in the playoffs. They beat the Packers the week before, but we watched the Cowboys beat the Packers. That went to the grocery store, did all this stuff. We pulled up to the apartment where we were living, and Sheila says, "I think it's time." And all day long, she tells me she'd been going through contractions all day. She hadn't said a word to me, but it was about 6 o'clock, and it was time. Went to the hospital, and when all was ready, the doctor comes in and says, "You know what? You guys are going to have to wait because we have an emergency going on." And so Amanda wasn't born on the 23rd. She was actually born on the 24th, about 2:18 in the morning. Joshua was a little different. We had to go get him. For some reason, he didn't want to come out. And the doctor said he's getting a little big. He was 9-plus pounds. And the nurse, I remember we were doing the post-birth stuff, me and the nurse. And she looks at me with this big smile and says, "Yeah, your son's going to be a football player." And I thought, no, he's going to be a preacher. I think I caught her. I don't think he's going to be either one of them. But, and you know what? Y'all could tell me stories about the birth of your children be just as different as the birth of my children. God created my kids just like he created the souls of Adam and Eve. Great mystery. It's an awesome mystery when you think about it. I mean, both my kids, both your kids, great mystery. But this is not what happened. This is not what happened at Jesus' birth. The words that we use to describe Jesus' birth is not creation. It's not conception. It's incarnation. And we have to remember this. Jesus' life didn't begin on that night when he was born in Bethlehem. It did not begin that night. The person, not the body, but the essential, the Godhead, the Godhood of Jesus existed before Bethlehem's. And like my kids, his birth was not the coming into being a new person, but it was a coming in to putting flesh on and dwelling among us. Jesus was not conceived. He was incarnated there with us. God in the flesh. And if we hear nothing else tonight, we need to hear this. We need to remember that this person was different. Not like us. Dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And don't let anybody tell you that Jesus never claimed that he was the Messiah. Don't let anybody tell you that Jesus was just another God. If they tell you that, if you hear this, they have obviously never read the book of John. From chapter 1, when Nathanael meets Jesus, till the end of the book, Jesus is proclaiming who he is. And from chapter 5 at the Pool of Bethesda, chapter 9 of the man born blind, chapter 11 when he raises Lazarus from the dead, all through the book he is proclaiming who he is. And unfortunately, the world in which we live in chooses not to believe. They see all these things just like the religious leaders saw at this time, and they chose not to believe. They chose to say, hey, he's doing stuff on the Sabbath. He's breaking our laws, as opposed to saying, guys, this guy couldn't see and now he can. Wow, this guy, he couldn't walk for 37 years and now he's dancing. Or this guy was dead and now he's alive. They chose not to believe. That's the world in which we live in. Not a whole lot has changed. Someone tells you this. They have not read the Gospel of John. In verse 2, same chapter, verse 2, it says, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Christ himself was involved in creating all things. All things. It's obvious. And then we see in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father. Christ existed before all creation because he was involved in creation. And again, as we look at the nativity scenes, don't think that this was the first time that his birth is when he came into the world, but he existed long before this. He existed from eternity past. We need to remember who this man is, who this God is that we serve. Paul says it like this in Philippians chapter 2. He says, have this attitude in you, which is also in Christ, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Before he was born in the likeness of man, verse 6 says he existed in the form of God. God in the flesh. He was equal with God. And the writer of Hebrews says the same thing. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 say the same thing. Verse 3 says, he is the radiance of his glory. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. He put on flesh, dwelt among us. This is the uniqueness. This is the reason for Christmas. This is why we celebrate Christmas. And I know that the world is really trying real hard to draw our attention away, to get our attention on everything that sparkles and everything that shines. And like I said this morning, with Christmas, looking at Christmas lights, and all of Coralville, all of North Liberty is lit up this year. It's really kind of neat. And I don't know if maybe we just didn't see it in the past, but this year it's all lit up. That's not what it's about. We got a Christmas tree out there. It's awesome. I think it's great that youth did a really good job picking it out and decorating it. It's not what Christmas is about. We're going to go home and open our presents tomorrow. Some of us will open tonight. Some of us are open tomorrow. You know, we're going to have turkey. Some of us will have something else. That's not what it's about. That's not what Christ said. I see families here. I see families, young folks are here. It's awesome. It's not what it's about. It's about Jesus Christ. And I just pray that Richard, would not get lost in all that shines and all that sparkles and all that draws my attention away. It says, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. Think about that statement. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. In him, in Christ, you have been made complete. All your fears, all your worries, all your sins, all the things that we get so consumed with, you have been made complete. It's Christmas. Well, the purpose of Christmas, why Jesus came. And I think John 18:37 speaks to the purpose. It says, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. And this is when Jesus was standing before Pilate giving an account of who he is. He says, I have come into the world to bear truth. And the connection between his birth and his purpose is so that you and I might believe, and believe have eternal life. The same purpose that John writes the Gospel of John. Seeing all that he did, seeing all that he said, believing, putting your hope, something that the world does not offer us, putting your hope, putting your trust, putting your weight on what Jesus says. And doing that, having eternal life. You know, even the kingdom of darkness, looking back at Colossians, is completely subject to God's will. Completely subject to God's will. You know, in John, back to John chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas says to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Verse 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. You know, this Christmas, as we celebrate Christmas with our families, as we unwrap our presents this Christmas, I pray that these words that we read in Colossians would take hold. That we would remember who Jesus is. That we would remember that all the fullness of deity dwells in Christ. That all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form in Jesus. And that in him we were made complete. I don't know if that speaks to you. I remember when I became a believer, that was one of the things that really spoke to me. I am complete. I lack nothing when I stand on the grace and the truth Jesus Christ. It's an awesome Christmas present. And that was the one. And if you know anything about me in my early walk with the Lord, I came out, that one small verse, first part of that verse, verse 10, Richard Wooton has been made complete in him. And when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, in the uncircumcision of my heart, he made me alive together with him, having forgiven my trespasses. And so I pray this Christmas, you know, that we would see the uniqueness of Christmas. We'd see the uniqueness of Jesus' birth. We'd see the why of Jesus' coming into this world. And I pray that everyone here tonight would be believing. Just as John says, that we would see what Jesus has done and we would be believing, and believing we could have eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you again for this evening. I want to thank you again for, God, your grace and how it is new each day. And I pray for each person here tonight, God, that that they could see you high and lifted up, that they would not see you as a baby in a manger, but they would see you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that they would see you in your proper place in who you are as the ruler of the universe. God, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your grace. Again, thank you for this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.